This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Laura Redmond.
Hello and good afternoon. I'm Laura with the Good Neighbor Podcast, Emerald Coast, and I am joined today with Steve Schutt of Movement Mortgage here in Niceville. And I am so excited to have you. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So Steve is not only a local lender that has been in Niceville for, I don't know how long, but I'm sure he's going to tell us today, a really long time, but he also is the expert contributor, sponsor, and lender in our Neighbors of Blue Water Bay magazine. So you may have seen some of his articles that we've published. So I'm just excited today for you to share with our listeners more about your business, your journey, and just, you know, share your story. So I'm going to let you take it away. So why don't you start by just telling us about your business?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm a mortgage lender. Pretty much anything that has to do with financing a home is something that I can help our customers with. So whether that's a refinance or a home equity loan or buying a new construction or investment property, all those kind of things. Of course, your primary residence, we do a ton of VA lending. Being here in the local area, we estimate that we've helped probably a couple thousand veterans over my career use their VA loan. So we consider ourselves experts in that field specifically, but all kinds of residential lending. And I've been doing this, this is my 20th year. And as you mentioned, I've been in Niceville a long time. I'm a military brat. That's what brought us here. But I was able, fortunate to graduate from high school here. And other than going to college, this is where I've been able to set my, I guess, feet and grow my family and grow business and all of that. So I, this August will be 20 years since I put my foot into these waters.
Yeah. So very nice. And you have a beautiful family here in Niceville and,
thank you.
You guys are active, very active in the community. I see a lot of posts and a lot of things. So you guys have really, like you said, really, you know, made it your home. So
yeah, well, Niceville is home. And so for us, I mean, this is where my mom is, my wife's family is, and this is where our kids go to school. And so this is home. So we want Niceville to be all that it can be. And so whatever our little part we play in that, we find it an honor to be able to do. So
yeah,
it's good.
So kind of going along with that, you kind of told us how you ended up in Niceville, but how did you end up in lending? What was your journey like? And how did you end up here?
Yeah. So when I graduated college, I was fully expecting, my wife had a job in Atlanta. And so I was expecting that I was going to go there. And my mom, who was civil service at the time, came to me with an idea of opening a small business in Niceville. And I was not really feeling it at all. And I just happened to be on a trip snowboarding with a really good friend of mine that I graduated with, who was very much the mindset of get out of Niceville, go corporate, go do all this stuff. And he had graduated college a year before me. And he said, man, he goes, I don't care what the business is. If you have an opportunity to go back to Niceville where you know you want to raise your family one day, he said, take it now. He's like, go be in business for yourself. Go do it now. So we came back. We opened that business and the goal was to run it for a few years, get her to a point where she could retire and step into basically a retirement type job. And that would help pave my way into the business community of some sort in Niceville. Yeah. And so literally almost 3 years to the day, somebody approached me about becoming a mortgage loan officer and brought me into the business. And so here we are 20 years later.
Wow. I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes in the industry in 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of changes. In fact, I know there's a lot of stuff going on with real estate right now and the changes with the laws and commission structures and all of that. And we have seen that happen a couple of times in our industry. So it's nice to be able to be a sounding board for some of our business partners in the real estate world to help them understand, like, you'll get through it, you know, because we've seen a bunch of changes.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Most of them have been for the good.
Yeah. Well, it's good to, and I've seen some things, that you do in the community as well. I think you're part of some groups and stuff that you guys get together and talk and brainstorm and educate, stuff like that. So,
yeah. Got our hands in a
thing to do when changes are happening, right?
That's right.
Stay educated and work with each other for sure.
Absolutely.
So kind of also going on that with all the changes you've seen and different things that are happening right now with real estate, which ultimately real estate and lending obviously go hand in hand. What do you think are some of the things that maybe people are misunderstanding right now? Or some
as far as clear up as, like the real estate market,
all of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think either one, you know, cause there's so much uncertainty. And so a lot of just the general public doesn't, they don't always have the insight that you guys have. You obviously,
sure.
You know, you guys read a lot of things, you stay up on it, but.
Well, I think one misconception is that I hear a lot of times that people are not ready to purchase or do anything because they want to wait until rates come down. And unfortunately, like we do expect at some point they will, but rates do fluctuate. But that's not a real reason to wait, because as rates come down, there's nothing suggesting that property value is not going to continue to go up. In fact, property value very closely aligns with new household formations. So that would be kids moving out of the house. That's the biggest one, is young professionals buying property. And so that number of new household formations far exceeds the number of homes that are being built, that are being brought to the market. And so that says that there's a huge supply shortage still. We may not realize it, but in a normal market, the new construction industry is not keeping up with the new formations of households. So when people are waiting for interest rates to come down, home values are still going up. And if rates come down 1% over the next year and a half or 2 years, let's say, that home value, you've lost all of that in home value already. So waiting for that is, I think, a big common misconception. Now there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. Everybody's personal financial situation is different, but people think it'll get cheaper. And it won't. The other thing too is every 0.5% interest rates come down, it's something like 1 million new home buyers come into the market. And so when you are adding more buyers to a market that's already not keeping up from a supply and demand standpoint, it puts us potentially back into a frenzy situation where people are paying over asking price and all that. So my personal opinion is the time is now to get into home ownership, even though the bottom line is not pretty. I'm not saying it's not bad, but it went from worse to bad. And I personally think in the next couple of years, we're going to see it go to worse again. And so now is the time as a home buyer. Yeah. Sellers, you know,
yeah,
it just keeps going up.
Yeah. But the seller has to have somewhere to go as well.
Seller's got to have somewhere to go. Yeah. And so a lot of people get stuck in their homes because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That is a real problem for sure.
And we have definitely seen in this area, the home values go crazy, but you know, people always have to move. So, I mean, for various reasons. So,
and we have forced activity in this area with the military moving people in and out. A lot of areas don't have that. It's just the move up buyers or the new buyers or whatnot. We actually have people that are forced to move, and then they're forced to then make a decision if they're going to buy, if they're going to rent, if they're going to sell, if they are moving from here. So that forces activity, which obviously that's a demand issue, which when demand's high or when supply is lower and demand is high, that's when prices go up.
Well, and to your point, because I have young children just out of college who are renting, and rent is expensive. And I was always a firm believer that it's always better to own when you can, you know, as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Than to throw money away in rent, because rent isn't getting any cheaper either. So,
well, rent is 100% interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
You avoid some of the maintenance costs and things of that nature, but you lose appreciation. And I heard a stat, and I've heard it several times, several different ways, so I'm going to mess it up. But the average homeowner has a net worth that's 40 times the amount of an average renter.
Oh, wow.
The average adult citizen in the United States has about $5,000 in savings. And the average renter has a negative savings, where the average homeowner has a savings of, it's like $25,000 or more. So there's a big discrepancy between the two. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that when you buy a home, and if you live in it for 5, 6, 7 years, when you are ready to move to a new place, you are almost guaranteed to have a little pot of money that you can take with you. And that pot of money can go as a down payment to another home. It could go to clear up debt that maybe you've incurred over that 5 or 6 years. The reality is I see a lot of people that sell homes and they use that as their financial reset button to pay off a lot of debt. And then they buy their next home with maybe less down payment or whatever. So it is a little, it provides an opportunity for you to get caught up.
Yeah.
That renters, frankly, don't have.
Yeah, you'll never see that money again.
Yeah, so 5 years later, they just have a bunch of debt that they have nothing to clear that up with. And that's not everybody, but
yeah, sure.
I see that a lot. I mean, I look at people's credit reports for a living, and yeah, that's just the reality.
Well, another good reason to buy now if you're a renter.
Yeah, if you can make it happen. And there are a lot of programs that allow people to make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of down payment assistance programs and closing cost assistance programs. And certainly in our market here, we have the VA loan, which is 100% financing. And right now, because we're not in the frenzy market that we were a couple of years ago, you can negotiate contracts on some properties to have the seller help you with closing costs too. So whereas before, and what I'm afraid we're going to get back into as rates come down, is you're having to pay over asking price for a home. So let's say it's a $300,000 home and you're using your VA loan. If you're paying $310,000, you're having to come out of pocket for $10,000, and you're having to pay all your closing costs. There's another $10,000. Maybe the home needs a new roof. There's another $15,000 that the seller's not going to do because they don't need to.
Yeah,
sell somebody else. And so right now you're able to buy a home and get the seller to cover all, if not most of that. Whereas 2 years ago, you were coming out of pocket $25,000 on that home to make it happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, buy now.
And that's how they should consult a professional.
That's right. Yeah. That would be the next biggest misconception that I would share with people, is the importance of working with people that you know, you can trust, that know the market, that know how to help you structure things in a way that are going to help you accomplish your goals. Because a mortgage is not just an interest rate and the fees that are being charged. Most of the time, people don't even know the fees that they're really being charged for the mortgage itself. So working with somebody, you know, I'll plug myself, right? As a local person who's vested here, who's multi-generational, like, my job is to help people. I do that through mortgages, but ultimately what I do is I help people make good decisions. And sometimes that means not using me for their services, and I'm okay to share that with people if I'm not the right fit.
Sure. Well, and to your point, not all mortgage companies or lenders are not all the same. So I guess that would lead me to my next question. So why Movement Mortgage? What makes Movement Mortgage?
Well, Movement Mortgage as a company is an incredible company. It was literally founded because the owner, Casey Crawford, and we are privately owned, founded the company because he needed a vehicle essentially to generate revenue to help the less fortunate. And so our company is a for-profit company. We do make money, but that we take the profits, our owner and C-suite people, they make good livings, but they do not make absorbent crazy incomes as it compares with everybody else in the industry. And so those profits are then taken, and we use them to build charter schools. We're on our seventh charter school that we're building in the inner cities of some of the southeastern part of the United States. And these are top-notch, incredible education that go to these students that would never have an opportunity to have anything like that. These students who are growing up in communities that statistically have a 4% chance to make it out, either not going to jail, not unfortunately losing their life, or certainly not going to college. Yeah. And now they're changing those communities, and we get to be a part of that. And so for me, I'm going to do the mortgage business how I'm going to do the mortgage business. And I could do that at probably any company because customers are dealing with Steve. But to know that on the back end, my company is doing something significant with those profits, that just speaks to who I am, to who my family is. And so, yeah, great company. And there's a ton more that they do. That's just the big one. But they help us here locally, as an example. Anything that us employees do locally, the foundation that the company supports matches it 100%.
Oh, nice.
And so if we donate $50 to something, it's $100, you know, and you can take and exponentially grow it as much as you want. So it helps us locally to have a huge impact on our communities too.
Yeah. Which is
another big reason why I work here.
Yeah. Well, it's important to work with people or with a company that aligns with your same kind of beliefs and values and things like that. So thank you for sharing that. I know you talked a little bit, about it with me before, but I wanted our listeners to really kind of hear that as well. Hear that story is important. And you were talking about the charter. I got goosebumps a little bit when you were talking about the charter schools.
Listen, I've had the opportunity to tour the charter schools twice. Once while I was being recruited by this company, they wanted to show me what they're all about. And the other time, once we had already joined, I took my team up to go to training in Charlotte. And that's where four of the schools are right now. And we got to tour the schools. The first time was during the summer, so there were some kids' camps going on. But the second time was literally our school was letting out. And we're all wearing our new movement t-shirts and all that. And I'm not joking if just about every single child, student, parent who was there picking up, like, smiled and said thank you and just kind of nodded us. And that you want to talk about chills, like, they knew what we were about and what opportunity that their families have because of it. So I just love it because our owner put his money where his mouth is, and he drives an F-150, you know, nothing super fancy, but he could be doing whatever he wants to financially, but he doesn't. It goes, this is what he wants to do.
Yeah.
To put money back in. So it's cool.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So going back to Steve and your family, you guys, like I said, are active in the community. I know your movement as an office, you guys do a lot in the community. Your tailgates before football and all kinds of things. Yeah. What else do you guys like to do for fun?
For fun, like as a company or just
all of it. I see you guys post all the time. So we'll do two. We'll do the company, because I know you guys have a fun office.
Yeah.
But then we'll go to your family and you can tell us what your family likes to do.
Well, I think consistently the tailgate really before the football games, we try to do a few of those every year, and we used to do them every home football game. And frankly, that just was exhausting. You know, so we couldn't anymore.
That's a lot of burgers and hot dogs.
Yeah. But we do at least three, if not four times a year. We open up the parking lot and partner with Jim and Nick's and just have a big gathering here, you know, as you know. So that's a lot of fun. In the past, we've hosted cornhole tournaments, you know, just trying to raise money for local charities. We partnered with our office in Fort Walton Beach to do a pickleball tournament in Fort Walton not too long ago. So we're just always looking for those different things. We help sponsor the Jingle Bell Jog for the Special Forces Association. Okay. That was a big event. And so I'm not much of a runner, but the people in my office do like to run. So we try to get involved with the races and different golf tournaments. And so just any place that we can plug in and, you know, be able to help have an impact for whatever that cause is and have some fun doing it. And so personally, we love to travel. Our family likes to travel, and this job does afford us the opportunity to be able to work remotely as much as possible. Of course, the kids are in school and all that, so we aren't just on the road all the time, but we do try to take a couple of big trips a year. My wife will tell you, she loves vacation, Steve. Because at home, I'm very budget conscious and whatnot, but we get on the road and I'm all about the memories and the, making memories. So
vacation, so, Steve.
Vacation. She loves vacation, Steve. And she's kind of branded it. So now our family and friends and everybody, they like vacation, Steve.
That's awesome. I like that. My husband, I call him Fun Robbie.
Okay.
His name's Rob, and he has Fun Robbie, and that's kind of vacation Rob.
Yeah.
So that's funny. I can relate. I can definitely relate. It's nice to get away and cut loose a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always say the kids aren't going to remember what they got for Christmas last year most of the time, but they're going to remember taking a big trip on spring break.
Absolutely.
And, you know, getting to go and adventure and explore and just have those memories that last a lifetime. I mean,
absolutely.
To me, that's a big chunk of what life is about, you know, especially kids are only little for so long, you know, and then they're off doing their thing. And as we were talking about, my oldest, I don't know if the six of our family, our core family, will take a vacation ever again together. So it's like, when you start thinking about those things, like, okay, well, I'm going to make the most of every minute I can. And so we try to be really good about that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, making memories is definitely the most important. So kind of going back to the business side, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners about your business specifically, or even movement, anything else you want them to know? Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you if you have if you've ever had any struggles or hardships that you think have helped you become more successful or better at what you do, anything you've experienced in your life that you think has really helped propel you to where you are.
experienced in my life. Patience, I think, just learning patience. And for me, my position is a sales position. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I've learned from this, but what I do is a lot of times looked at as a commodity. It's looked at, well, what's the interest rate, you know, and I know it's significantly more than that. And not everybody's going to want to do business with me, right? There's a reason there's four or five different grocery stores in town. People like to go to the, and so learning that, and learning that I have friends that maybe don't want me to know their financial stuff, you know? Yeah. And so just kind of learning the patience with that and learning that I'm not going to be the right fit for everybody. I think especially with social media these days, all of us are consumed or not consumed. I don't want to paint everybody with a broad stroke, but we can fall into wanting to be accepted by everybody and for everybody to like us and not have anybody that doesn't like us or doesn't, you know, So learning that and being okay with somebody making a decision to work with a different loan officer, a different bank or whatever, even though in my mind, I'm like, that's not the right choice for you. Yeah. That's okay. And so I think that was very freeing. Doesn't mean I don't struggle with that still.
Right? We're human.
Yeah, we're human. I want everybody to like me and I want to be able to help as many people as I can. That's how I provide for my family after all. But learning that, it's not possible. It's not going to happen. And understanding that there's other things to use your time and your resources and your emotions and all of that. You know, if I'm getting caught up in losing a deal, quote unquote, and I take that home with me, then I'm taking away from my kids who they don't need that side of me. So I would say that would be the biggest thing that I've learned and continue to learn is just understanding that I'm not going to win everything.
Yeah, it's an important life lesson for all of us. It's a work in progress. I'm still working on that all the time.
Oh, same. Yeah, no, same. It's Leah and my wife will tell you, like, I come home and sometimes I vent, and then I could be like the next morning just on cloud nine because of different things going on. And she's like, are you the same person that was frustrated last night? But it's just, learning and continuing to learn how to process through those situations is, I think, the biggest thing I've learned.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell our listeners the best way that they can connect with you or your office if they have questions, if they're looking for a lender or if they're thinking about buying or, you know, selling or whatever in the next little bit and they want to talk to a professional lender first. What's the best way for them to connect with you guys?
Yeah, so honestly, just Google Steve Shutt Mortgage and we should pop up in a bunch of different places. My office is right in the middle of town here in Niceville, across the street from the Chamber of Commerce, next door to Jim and Nick's Barbecue. Everybody knows where Jim and Nick's is. My office is the little brown building next door. Just do a quick Google search and you'll find our Facebook page or Instagram or my website or come by the office. You can also call or text 897-8971. 850. You know, when I started that phone number 20 years ago, all you had to do was say the last. Now you got to say area code because everybody's here, so.
Yeah.
Shows my age. 850-897-8971. That can be call or text. You mentioned a professional lender, and so I think that's a great way to describe it because there are people who like to do their own taxes and maybe they miss some stuff. And there's people that like to hire an accountant to help them with their taxes. And we're more that. We're here to help people maybe with the stuff that they don't realize that they don't even know and help them make good financial decisions. So that is who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And a professional local lender.
Local. Yeah. Local vested in your dollars stay here. They don't go to help support the sign on the side of a stadium somewhere.
Yeah.
Right here in our community.
And you have a heart for the local community. So
absolutely.
Well, I am so glad that you joined me today. I really appreciate it. I hope that our listeners have enjoyed hearing your story, hearing more about you personally and Movement. And I look forward to having you on here again sometime.
Yeah, thanks. I enjoyed it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Steve. And we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gmpemerald-coast.com. That's gmpemerald-coast.com. Or call 850-990-4026.